The pursuit of happiness, the American dream, or the British dream. What is your dream? Don't we all long to be happy? We long to be happy. That's the first heading on the screen. Life is a pursuit of happiness. The real question is, though, where are we looking at? Where are we looking for that? And who are we listening to? Are we listening to our boss or our spouse? Are we listening to the inner gut feelings we have? Is happiness more hours at work to get the promotion and financial security and early retirement? It is happiness devoting our lives to our children, hoping they'll achieve all we dream for them. Are we driven by the need to be true to ourselves and our desires? We only live once, so we must do what feels right for us. Who are we listening to? Where are we looking for true happiness in life? Broadly speaking, we naturally seek fulfillment in one of two places, either in the world or in religion. For some of us, our hope will be in what the world offers us. It used to be called sex and drugs and rock and roll. It may still be that for some of us. Certainly the pursuit of sexual gratification, or perhaps money and wealth, or status symbols. Perhaps our family is the ultimate goal of our affection, or we long to have a wide network of friends. We're happy only if we feel others love us. You may be someone for whom this whole church thing is an odd experience. You may rarely, if ever, go to church, certainly not regularly. If God exists, is he really relevant to you? You look more to the world for happiness. Others here will feel much more at home at church. In this church, we're old hands, so to speak. We're convinced God exists, and our hopes rest in keeping him happy. Living morally, attending church regularly, helping others, doing things in the hope that one day, when you stand before him after you die, God might see fit to smile on you and welcome you into heaven. Of course, you realise you're not perfect, but you'd say you're not as bad as some people, generally a good person. You look more to religion for happiness. All of us long to be happy. Two places we naturally look, to the world or to religion. So which is it? Which brings us that true happiness we crave? Life at its best. Well, I'm not convinced it's either. Of course, the world offers us moments of happiness. That first sip of beer or wine on Friday evening after work. The new phone, the new car, the new gadget. The first day of holiday away from it all, or the retirement we've been working so hard to enjoy. And religion may give us a sense of righteousness, of self-righteousness, of doing things for God that keeps him happy. Yet don't these things often fall short for us? Someone's always got a bigger and better car. Most of us will know the hangover on the morning after the night before. The holiday's a nightmare when the kids play up. We look forward to retirement to find that we can't enjoy it when we get there because our bodies are falling apart or we're looking after someone else whose body's falling apart. For the religious amongst us, have we ever really done quite enough to tip the scales in our favour? We're busy trying to do so much at church or for other people. Will God really be happy with me? There's always more I could or should be doing. And when I make a mess of things, sometimes I can't forgive myself. How will God ever forgive me? We long to be happy. The world and religion offer so much, but experience suggests they never quite satisfy. We're often left wanting more or unsure if we've even done enough. To that, God says, I know. Our experience of life affirms what God's word, the Bible, says. That the things the world offers and the things that religion offer fall short, never quite fulfilling our deepest desire for true happiness. It may surprise us, but the Bible isn't a religious book. It's not a book about being religious, about what to do to please God. The Bible speaks deeply against religion in that sense. At the start of this new term, with a new season ahead of us as a church, we're going to look at one verse today, a verse that tells us religion's not the answer to happiness, But not only that, this verse also claims to give the answer to the question, where will I find true happiness? The verse is in Luke's gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life, Luke 11:28. Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To set the scene, Jesus has just performed a miracle. A crowd's gathered round him, understandably, and he's teaching them about God. Suddenly, chapter 11, verse 27, a woman in the crowd shouts out praise to Jesus. Jesus, you are so great. Praise to you and a blessing on your mum who gave birth to you. Blessing really means happy because of God's favour. Jesus, you are so great. The mother who gave birth to you must be in God's favour and so truly happy. This is a religious woman. If it was today, we might imagine her flat on the floor in the front of church praising Jesus, praising Mary, his mother. Or she might be the one who comes to church every week and sings from her seat the loudest, with her hands in the air the highest, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. That's the picture. Thank God for Jesus. And we expect Jesus to say, thank you. That's wonderful. You've done well. But no, Jesus challenges her. It's like he says, blessing, true happiness. It's not just about saying how great I am, offering praises to me. It doesn't even come from being the mother who gave birth to me. Verse 28, blessed, happy, rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. True happiness, Jesus says, comes to those who hear the word of God and obey it. That's where God's favour rests. Where will we find true happiness? Jesus offers a third way, beyond the things of this world or our religious activities. True happiness starts with hearing the word of God. Hear the word of God, Jesus says in verse 28. Don't hear what the world says. Don't hear what religious people have to say about God. Hear what God says about himself and be blessed by it. The Bible claims to be God's word to us. If we want to truly hear what God says, we need to hear what the Bible says. I'm not stood here preaching from the Bible today for a laugh. I'm not even stood here because it's my job. I'm stood here because all I really have to offer you is God's word. What he says. And because he says those who hear his word will find true happiness, all we long for, I'm stood here because I'm committed to God's word as being the best thing for our lives. The burning question in my mind now is, well, what does God's word say then? Well, we said earlier that the Bible isn't a religious book. It's not a book about us, about what we need to do to please God. The Bible, God's word, is all about Jesus, which is the next heading on the screens. Hear the word, true happiness is found in Jesus. The Bible's all about Jesus. From beginning to end, one big story about God's great rescue plan, God's mission impossible that he's made possible. What's impossible for us, what religion tells us to try and do to get ourselves right with God, God's made possible. God's made us right with himself. The word of God for the world to hear is that Jesus has done the impossible for us. He's restored our broken relationship with God. It's not about what we do, but what about Jesus has done. The Bible tells us God made us for relationship with him. It's in our bone and our soul and our DNA. We're built for relationship. Ultimately with the God who made us and loves us and rules over his creation. But as the story of the Bible unfolds, we're told that we reject God as ruler, what God calls sin. We want to live as gods of our lives instead of God, which I guess is true in our experience. We want to be the boss of our lives, whether we live as if God doesn't exist, chasing after the things of the world, or whether that means coming to God on our terms, how we want him to be. Chasing after religion. Either way, they both put us first and reject God as ruler over us. Sadly, the Bible tells us that broken relationship with God means he's angry with us and we face his judgment. It's not good news so far. But we need the darkness to make the light shine brighter. The bad news makes the good news really good news. And as the Bible also tells us, because God loves us so much and doesn't want that future for us, Jesus came as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, which basically means Jesus took God's judgment in our place. He paid the price for us. We reject God. God's angry. Through his death on the cross, Jesus took God's anger in our place. In Jesus, we find forgiveness for rejecting God as ruler. And we can simply be friends with God again. That's God's word in a nutshell. And in Luke 11, Jesus says that's where we'll find true happiness. In Jesus. Because he's the one who can make us friends with God again. And what a cool friend God is. For those of us who used to play top trumps, it's like the biggest and best top trump. The unbeatable card. It scores 100 on everything. The God who made everything is my best friend. Trump that. Why is true happiness found in Jesus? Well, because in Jesus, God becomes our best friend. Which changes our lives. From that day on and forever, our future is with God as friend, not judge. And that's the best life. Hear God's word. The storyline of the Bible, true happiness is found in Jesus, not in the world or religion, but trusting in Jesus. What does it really mean to hear? Well, for those of us with children, how many times do we find ourselves saying, have you heard what I've said? Do you understand? What do we mean by that? What am I expecting? What does hearing what I've just said look like for my children? Well, it's more than just listening. It's more than agreeing in principle. As a parent, when I ask my children, for example, to put their dirty clothes in the washing basket, and then I say, have you heard me? I don't just mean listen to what I'm saying. I mean go and put your clothes in the dirty washing basket. Hearing, truly hearing, means a change of behaviour. I'll know my children have truly heard when they respond to what I've said. Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Truly hearing the word leads to response. Jesus is saying, hear the good, the great news of God's word, what we might call the gospel, that Jesus can rescue us from God's judgment. And if you've really heard it, act on it. Take hold of it. Make it your own. Respond to the good news. Live your life in light of that. Hear what God says about himself and be blessed as it shapes your life. True happiness is found in Jesus. And our final point on the screens. So turn to Jesus and follow him. For some of us this morning, that will mean turning and trusting in Jesus for the first time, shifting our pursuit of happiness away from the world or religion and on to Jesus. Seeing that our greatest need in life is to be in a right relationship with God and not a wrong one. And realizing that our only hope rests in what Jesus has done and not what we do. For those here this morning who are already trusting in Jesus, it means living in light of that fact, living out those changed lives for Jesus, keeping on listening to God's word and doing it. But here's the critical difference between Christianity and religion, doing it because we're rescued, not in order to try and be rescued. Why do Christians, people who are trusting in Jesus, try to live under God's rule? Because we love God. Because he's already done everything to rescue us. When someone loves us, we love them, then we want to please them. Whatever that looks like. For Jane, it may be me giving her chocolate or telling her I love her. It's not a chore. I don't do it to earn her love. I already have it and I love her. Jesus isn't speaking about religion, but about relationship. A change of life born out of relationship, of recognizing all God's done for us in Jesus, because he first loved us and responding to that in love, not trying to earn his love. 1 John 2:3, we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. But later in that same letter, chapter 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. But still, none of this is easy. It's not natural to want God to be the rightful ruler of my life instead of me. Instinctively, I still want to do what I want to do. It's part of my human nature. It's sadly, too, is in my bones and my soul and my DNA. But when we turn and trust in Jesus, God doesn't leave us alone to flail around. God works in the lives of his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. Where I, Ben, get this whole obedience to Jesus thing wrong, and I get it wrong so often, God's at work in me, shaping and honing and refining me so that I might love him better. Christians, those trusting in Jesus, should expect changed lives. People looking at Christians should expect to see changed lives. One of the reasons people don't want anything to do with Christianity is because all too often Christian lives don't look any different to anyone else's life. At best, we do Jesus a great disservice. At worst, 1 John 2:4, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Yet loving God with my life is ultimately true happiness. The way of God's blessing for all the struggles and strains of life. Because God's way is ultimately the best way and mine isn't. Because God really is God and I'm not God. And God really does know what's best, even if it doesn't feel like that to me or isn't what I choose. We live in a world that encourages us to be gods of our lives, pursuing the things of this world or pursuing religion. And it's a broken world. We have proven time and time again that our way isn't the best way. There's death and mourning and crying and pain and broken relationships and all the mess. But out of the storm of life, there is true happiness to be found. Now and forever in Jesus. As we finish, there are three places we might look to try and find that true happiness we long for. The world, religion, or in Jesus. Each of us here this morning is pursuing one of those three things. The world says, I'm the ruler of my life. Religion pretends God's the ruler, but it's really about me coming to God on my terms, which makes me the ruler of my life. God's word says, turn and follow Jesus. Let him be the ruler. He's much more qualified for the job, and he's already done everything we need. Turning to Jesus and following him is where we'll find true happiness, life at its best. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's the message we need to hear at the start of this new term, with a new season ahead of us as a church. And it's the message for us to hold out to those around us as we seek the very best for them in their lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts long to be truly happy. Forgive us when we think we know better than you for pursuing happiness in anything other than Jesus. Thank you that Jesus has made a way for us to be friends with you, that in him we find true happiness. Please may we each see more clearly this morning the wonder of what you've done in Jesus. And may that change our lives now and forever as we trust in and live for him. Amen.